Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrivent Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrivent Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrivent Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice.
The issue of life transcends anybody's petty politics. This goes to the very heart of who we are as a country.
What I see about Governor Romney is that he says, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he's raised from the dead, and, you know, he's my Savior. I see him as being a believer in Christ like me.
There's an Occupy Faith in Boston, there's an Occupy Faith in Oakland, there's an Occupy Faith in Washington, D.C., there's an Occupy Faith in Chicago. And there are more and more of these groups that are primarily faith leaders.
Homeschool families love Issues, etc. We have issues.
The environmentalists, that's how we normally refer to them, usually by that meaning people who have a bit of an obsession about the environment, people who kind of take it one step or maybe more than one step too far. They do have something right. They really do. And I'm not talking about all the theories of global warming. I'm talking about responsibility. Man, as, even if we use their way of thinking about it, man as a species on this planet does bear unique responsibility. Even Christians can affirm this. Not that we're one species among many on the planet. In fact, man, by virtue of his place in creation, according to God's design, in creation, bear a unique responsibility for the world around us. It was the task first given to us by our Creator to work the ground, to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. And that meant rightful stewardship of God's creation. Now, especially since the fall, we are limited in how much we can bear of that responsibility, but we still have it. What is man's proper relationship to creation and a proper Christian stewardship of the environment? We're going to be answering that question here in the first half hour of Issues, Etc. It's Monday afternoon, January the 23rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Alan Kornacki will be our guest for that first half hour. After that, Sarah Pulliam Bailey will join us for just a few minutes. We'll talk about media coverage of evangelical voters in South Carolina. And then Bob Hunter will join us to talk about some groups that insist you call God Yahweh and insist you call Jesus, Yeshua, on the pain of losing your salvation. They're called Yahweh groups. In the second hour of the program, a rare privilege to have Dr. Robert George of Princeton University with us to get a legal perspective on 39 years of Roe v. Wade. After that, Sarah Foster of Feminists for Life will join us to talk about feminism and abortion. She's president of Feminists for Life. And then Dr. Angus Manouge will join us. There's a book out by Steven Pinker of Harvard University called The Better Angels of Our Nature. It has to do with violence and what he calls the reduction of violence over time. He says religion was not only a major source of violence, but religion has been humanized since the Enlightenment and therefore is not so much a source of violence in the world. We'll see what Dr. Angus Manouge thinks about that in the last half hour of Issues, Etc. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback at issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address, at issuesetc. Pastor Alan Kornacki is pastor of St. Peter Lutheran Church in Campbell Hill, Illinois, and he's author of an article in a recent issue of Higher Things magazine titled Green Without the Black. Alan, welcome back.
Good afternoon, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Before we talk about the boundaries of our responsibility, the boundaries of our stewardship in this creation, where should Christians first go in God's Word to understand our basic relationship to the created world around us?
Well, as you mentioned in your introduction about being fruitful and multiplying, filling the earth and subduing that, that's Genesis chapter 1. And God goes on to say, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be food. And to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. So in Genesis 1, we see the Lord giving that responsibility to us.
So if that is our starting place from God's Word, then where would we agree with those who have kind of become the environmental front? And their perspective is hardly one of a created order or even a creator. They generally have a more Darwinian or even a pagan view of this world. Where would we agree with them?
Well, where we would agree is that we both acknowledge a certain responsibility toward the environment, towards the earth, towards the animals. You know, they go about it in an unchristian way, but they would agree that, you know, along with the command that God gave to Adam and Eve to be good stewards and to take care of the animals, they would agree with that, although not that it was Adam's responsibility as a God-given responsibility, just that it was man's responsibility as, you know, a fellow part of the earth.
Would we also agree, Pastor Kornacki, at least in a very limited sense, that we screwed it up? They would say we've screwed it up by industrialization, carbon output, all of those kinds of things. How would Christians understand man's place in the problems that face us in creation around us?
Well, they're about, 6,000 years too late. You know, the earth was devastated by man's fall into sin. The ground was cursed so that Adam no longer had the delight of just tending the garden. He now had to, you know, grow crops on his own. The animals who at one time were companions now became enemies. Clothing, transportation, and in Genesis 9, they became food as well. So right from that the first sin, all of the earth was devastated by man's fall.
There is a certain knee-jerk reaction that we often find among Christians, in particular Christians who kind of consider themselves politically conservative, to anything, any call for man's responsibility, any call for care for the environment. What is your pastoral response to that?
Well, as a pastor, I tell people that we are meant to be good stewards of what God had placed into our care, even though we are no longer able to perfectly fulfill that dominion that the Lord gave us. We are still called upon to be good stewards, to be to care rightly for the creatures that are lower than us.
Does this mean that, as the radical environmentalists would assert, that the less we have to do actively with the world, the more we keep our hands off it, the better things are? It doesn't sound like that's exactly what we're called to do, is keep our hands off.
No, the Lord himself is very hands-on, and he uses us as his means. So, you know, when you see a Christian working in an animal shelter, you know, that is a good thing. You know, it's not that we're not meant to, you know, to be part of the earth. You know, we are called upon to tend it. The Lord has told us that's how we will be fed, is through the tilling of the earth, through the production of meats and, you know, all that stuff. It's, you know, it's a hands-on approach. You know, we're part of it, so we're part of dealing with it.
How would you respond to someone on the other side, with about a minute and a half here before we take our first break, a Christian who's kind of gotten caught up in the wave of environmentalism, who does worry themselves at night about global warming, who does have qualms of conscience about eating meat or using any kind of animal products?
Well, the Lord has given humanity permission to consume meat. Like I said, Genesis 9, this would be very early in human history, you know, the Lord has taken the, you know, to use a bad phrase, taken lemons and made lemonade. He's taken what we've done and used it for our good. He's given us the ability to receive proteins and other nourishment through meat. You know, that's not to say that we should, you know, be hitting chickens over the head with hammers in inhumane ways, but at the same time, we are allowed to eat it and enjoy it.
Pastor Alan Kornacki is our guest. We're talking about Christian stewardship of the environment. It's a Monday afternoon, I'm sorry, January the 23rd, and we are coming to you live. We'll have another 10 minutes with him talking about the environment, Christian stewardship. The word that often, I think, does a better job than being an environmentalist is a conservationist. It really is damage control. If you think about it in terms of the Christian view of the fall, the fact that we've broken it and that it is broken, we're not going to fix it. Not that we have permission to break it anymore, but it is broken. Then maybe what we are trying to do is conserve that which we can in this world around us, and to be mindful, first and foremost, not so much of the planet, but of those who dwell on it, our neighbor. I think what's often lost in the shuffle in environmentalism is the neighbor. That this is what we would do to preserve this planet is now done by Christians in service of our neighbor. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Pastor Alan Kornacki is pastor of St. Peter Lutheran Church in Campbell Hill, Illinois, author of an article in a recent issue of Higher Things magazine titled Green Without the Black. After we conclude our conversation with him, Sarah Pulliam-Bailey of GetReligion.org will join us. We'll talk about media coverage of evangelical voters in the South Carolina primary. And then Yahweh groups will be the subject to round off this first hour with Bob Hunter, author of an article in the Christian Research Journal titled Yahweh is His Name. Stay tuned. More on Christian stewardship of the environment with Pastor Alan Kornacki after this.
Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Pensacola, Florida. Silly with commercials, serious with God.
Sunday!
Sunday!
Emmanuel Lutheran Church has gone
crazy!
With grace!
Upon grace!
God's Word.
For you!
Baptism.
For you!
Lord's Supper.
Weekly!
And for you!
Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Pensacola, Florida.
Be there!
Stay Lutheran, my friends.
Trinitarian baptism is a one-time thing. Also must be in full confessional fellowship with the LCMS to partake of the Lord's Supper. Otherwise, side effects may occur. Stay Lutheran, my friends.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes. Dedicated customer service and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm. So check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
How does Jesus' incarnation provide us with a response to religious relativism? Find out in an article that I've written for the latest Issues, Etc. journal. It's titled God in a Box, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Michael Schurman's journey from moralistic therapeutic deism to the rock-solid theology of the Reformation. The online Issues, Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Christian stewardship of the environment. I invite your questions or comments. We are coming to you live. It's Monday afternoon, the 23rd of January. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet @issuesetc. Alan, One of the things you say is this isn't complicated. And I think a lot of Christians get worried when they hear about the stewardship of the environment because we're told we got to heal the world. We got to take care of the whole planet. You say it's just not that complicated for us in our daily vocations. What do you mean?
Well, you don't have to go out of your way. Now, you're more than welcome to, you know, to in your daily life, you know, make special efforts. But, you know, it's a simple matter of, you know, turning off the lights when you leave a room, or, you know, not flushing the toilet 3 times, not taking a 50-minute shower when 5 minutes will get you very clean. You know, it's not, you don't have to do a grand thing. You don't have to have a big rally. You don't have to, you don't have to appear in on a stage like Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher would to do something big. It's the little things. Picking up a can that you've dropped and putting it in recycling rather than in the garbage can. There are many simple things you can do.
So it's kind of, I mean, it sounds like a lot of what you counsel here is simply what maybe our fathers would have wanted us to do when we were teenagers. You know, my dad went from room to room turning off the house, all the house lights, when we weren't using them because he was paying the bills. He didn't like it when we stood there with the front door hanging open in the summer, air conditioning the neighborhood. I mean, it was just those kind of common sense things. Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly. If you want to use the big Christian word, stewardship. Be a good steward of the gifts God has provided.
Ann is listening in St. Louis. Ann, thanks for waiting on the line.
Oh, thank you. I don't know if I'm really on the same page with you guys. I came into the discussion late, but as you were talking about stewardship of the earth and such, I was thinking about, well, for instance, Todd, you love cats, and me, I love gardening. I love it. I mean, I could be out in my garden 5, 6, 7 hours a day, and at that point, I have to think that God's given you that passion, which is tied in with vocation, which you were talking about. And so that is part of your vocation. And the other thing I was going to say, and I've thought this for a while about gardening, that it's an attempt to get back to Eden in some way. Anyway, just that's what are my comments.
Ann, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in St. Louis. What do you make of that?
That's a delightful way of looking at it. You know, the Lord has, in giving us the stewardship of the earth, it's not, you know, you notice when he talks to Adam, it was never meant to be a toilsome task. So for those of us who find joy in tending the soil, tilling, planting, you know, weeding, you know, that's a wonderful gift that God gives you. The same way that listening to music for some is a way to relax. My predecessor here in Campbell Hill, he and his wife left behind a beautiful, you know, planter around the house. It's just gorgeous. And the relaxation that they garnered from that was, you know, a tremendous blessing to them.
Chris is listening in Michigan. Chris, thanks for waiting as well.
Yeah, my dad used to be a member of the Michigan United Conservation Corps. We look at the environment that you manage. Like a lot of hunting and fishermen do, you manage the environment so that you can continue to use it, which is a third view and is more of a balanced view than the other two.
Thank you very much, Chris. Thanks for listening in Michigan. Pastor Kornacki?
I'm not sure exactly how to respond to that. I mean,
he was talking about, and I kind of mentioned it before, that there is a conservationist view that says what we're here to do is make the most of this so that it's not so much serving to keep the environment in a pristine state, but what would they use now? The term they use now would be sustainability. I mean, a lot of the rationale for hunting and fishing is we do this in order to manage the populations so that we can continue to utilize them. What do you make of that?
Right. When you look at hunting and fishing, you know, historically, and I don't want to deal with the spiritual aspects of this, but the American Indians, the Native Americans, they would they worshipped, I didn't want to talk about that part, but they worshipped the animals that they killed. But the part that was important was that they used everything. They didn't hunt and fish and kill just for sport. Now, that doesn't mean they didn't enjoy it, but they used what they took. And that's, you know, it's important for us to do the same.
Where does our neighbor fit into all of this, Pastor Kornacki? Because we can see that the environmentalist view doesn't really have the neighbor in view at all. The neighbor is part of the problem rather than someone to be served by helping to conserve the environment. Where's the Christian view on that?
Well, you run into a problem with the, you know, militant environmentalist in that they don't pay attention to the seventh commandment when they protest. You see militant environmentalists who will throw paint on fur coats. I recounted a tale of how there was a protest in 2009 at the Hewlett-Packard main building where they painted a huge HP on top of the building that stood for hazardous products. You know, they have damaged their neighbor's goods instead of doing what Luther says, help him to improve and protect his possessions and income.
Hillary asks via email, what would you say to fellow Christians who've begun traveling to D.C. every weekend to protest environmental issues to the point of being arrested and perhaps even being proud that they are arrested?
Well, pride goeth before the fall, as the saying goes. You know, yes, it's important that we do, you know, conserve and protect the blessings God has given us, but it's also important for us to do that in a loving and conscientious way. That's not saying that those who go and protest in D.C. aren't doing that. I'm not too familiar with that phenomenon, but it's important that we don't, you know, that we don't exceed the bounds of good Christian behavior.
Anne said something a few minutes ago in her phone call about kind of trying to recapture Eden. Of course, I think she said that, you know, in a sense that, of course, we won't do that here on this side of the resurrection. But there is, at the end of this, for Christians, unlike those who approach it from a purely Darwinian or pagan view, there is a purpose, there's a direction that all this is headed, and we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth as Christians. Talk about that.
Exactly. In Revelation, Jesus said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he does talk about, John does write about the new heaven and the new earth. What we have here will be repristinated, will be restored. You know, just as we humans have been restored in baptism, all of creation and our own repristination will be perfected, you know, at the last day.
Finally, then, what would be your pastoral word to, especially to a young person who's bombarded in school and college and in the culture and in the media with a lot of ideas, environmental ideas, that do not square with the Christian view? What would be your pastoral word with about a minute here?
Well, in light of the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, which you're going to talk about later today, it's interesting that some of our most famous environmental activists are pro-choice. You know, the earth and the animals they see as being more important than humanity, and that's directly opposite to God's view of humanity. He sees us as the crown of creation. And after all, Jesus didn't die to redeem the trees and the animals at the shelter. He died to save people. And so if only we viewed human life that highly as they view the environment and the animals, it would be such a blessing for humanity.
Pastor Alan Kornacki is pastor of St. Peter Lutheran Church in Campbell Hill, Illinois. He's author of an article in a recent issue of Higher Things magazine titled Green Without the Black. You can find out more about the magazine for high school and college age youth, Higher Things, under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org, or you can call them toll-free 1-888-448-2359, Higher Things magazine. Pastor Kornacki, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
When we come back after the break, Sarah Pulliam Bailey is going to join us. We'll talk about media coverage of evangelical voters in the South Carolina primary. And then Bob Hunter will explain to us what these groups are called Yahweh groups that insist God go by one certain name, Yahweh, or otherwise you're not worshiping the true God. And that'll round off hour one of Issues, Etc. As Pastor Kornacki said, we will be talking about Roe v. Wade from a legal perspective and feminism and abortion in hour two of Issues, Etc. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Heritage Lutheran, Valparaiso, Indiana. Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota. Our Savior's Lutheran, Windham, Minnesota. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. St. John Lutheran, Yuma, Colorado. Christ Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri, and Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues, Etc. 300.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
He's not even born yet, but he already has an impressive resume, credited with saving his dad's life. Sarah McDonald, 7.5 months pregnant, was awoken during the night by an unusually strong kick from her unborn child. After waking up, she noticed her husband wasn't breathing and had no pulse. Thomas was purple from the waist up, so she tried to perform CPR to no avail. Two policemen, Officer Ryan Campbell and Sergeant Mike Hales, responded. They pulled Thomas to the floor and continued CPR. After several chest compressions, he began to breathe on his own. Looks like Dad will make a full recovery. In a few weeks, he'll meet his new son. One of the first things he's sure to say to him is, "Thanks for saving my life."
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.